If you take your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Exodus chapter 7. We'll be flying through these three chapters pretty quickly. How many of you remember when you were disciplined by your parents? Something tells me, Gary, you could probably tell us a few stories. I remember it not being pleasant. But I also think back now and am grateful that I had a mom and dad through my years that didn't mind disciplining me. As a matter of fact, when I was around 7 or 8 years old, my dad called me to him and he said, I got something I want you to do. I don't remember what he asked me to do, but I do remember how I responded to him. I told him, go to a place that's really hot. I also remember the look on my dad's face when I said those words. And so I thought the wisest thing to do was to run. Kids, two big mistakes there. Don't tell your dad to go to a place that's hot. And don't run from him when he's coming for you. So I ran. I ran out the back door, ran into the backyard. Unfortunately, our yard was fenced in. And even though Dad was a little older than me, he caught me right in the corner. And I'm going to stop the story there because you probably know how that story ends anyway. Discipline. So there was something about my dad that was just really true. When he asked me something to do something, he expected me to listen and then what? And then obey. To do what he asked me to do. That was just the way my dad was wired as a man. You listen to what I say and then you do what I ask you to do. Well, God is the same way. When God speaks to us, He expects us to listen and then to do what He's asked us to do. So we want to look this morning at a man who didn't do this very well. Matter of fact, 10 different times God asked him to do the same thing over and over again, and 10 different times he refused. We're going to just look at the first 9 this morning, and Pastor said he'll take the 10th one, which is quite a bit longer, a lot more material in that one. So we'll cover the first 9 this morning. And then next week, Pastor will cover the 10th one. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you. He kind of warns him ahead of time. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by acts of great judgment. So God tells Moses 2 things. Number 1, I want to warn you ahead of time, Moses, he is not going to listen to you. You shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. A very simple thing God asked. Just let the people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. But God told Moses, they're not going to listen to you when you give them that message. The second thing God told Moses ahead of time was, I'm going to lay my hand on Egypt. And I'm going to lay it on by great acts of judgment that's coming on that nation because Pharaoh will not listen to what I'm saying through you. So here's that first act of judgment. The water turned into blood. Chapter 7, verse 19, the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their canals, their ponds, and all their pools of water, so that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt. That's the primary source of water for Egypt. The Nile River. It's turned to blood. It's the water in which they bathed is now blood. It's the water they used to cook. It's the water that they worship because they worship the Nile River. And then God says a little further on in verse 21, it's going to be so devastating that all the fish on the Nile River, they're going to die. Terrible judgment because Pharaoh would not listen. The impact upon Pharaoh, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went to his house with no concern over what God had just done to his nation. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord. Anybody want to guess what he says? What are the next words? Yeah, let my people go that they may serve me. Did you notice that there's no change, not even in the wording? God doesn't rephrase himself. God doesn't back off and say, well, let me make this a little simpler for you. He gives him the exact same message. And I think right there is a biblical principle, that one that relates to all of us. Why should God reveal to us further instructions in our life if we have not obeyed what he's asked us already to do? God doesn't change his message and say, well, let me tell you, Pharaoh, after you do this, here's the second thing I want. Here's where I want you to go next. Doesn't do that. Just give the same message word for word. And I think that's a principle that applies to all of us. Sometimes people say, I'm not hearing from God. God doesn't seem to be speaking. I'm reading my Bible. God doesn't seem to be speaking to me or telling me what to do. Well, then I would say to that person, maybe you need to look back and see, are you obeying what he's already asked you to do? Or are you sitting on it? God just says the same thing over and over and over again. Because he's not obligated to give you any more revelation for you until you obey what he's already asked you to do. It's a principle in God's word. But if you refuse to listen to them, behold, this is number two, I will smite the whole territory with frogs. The Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your houses and into your bedrooms and on your beds and into your ovens and into your kneading or your mixing bowls. That's a lot of frogs. And they're everywhere. They're all over the people's houses. Anybody enjoy camping? Maybe you got camping? Denise and I used to do a lot of camping with the kids when they were little. And remember a frog getting to the tent every now and then? And what does everybody do? And they scream, you know, it's a frog. You got a frog story? Tell me after church. Frogs are nasty, nasty things, aren't they? We don't like them. And here God says they're going to even be in your food. That's how many frogs are coming. The impact upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead to the Lord and take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go and sacrifice to the Lord. But when Pharaoh saw there was relief after he prayed and the frog kind of disappeared, Pharaoh saw that they had relief. He hardened his heart. Who hardened his heart? He hardened his heart and did not listen to them. Next plague, number three. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats throughout all the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff, and all the dust of the earth became gnats throughout all the land of Egypt. That's a lot of gnats, isn't it? Have you ever been in somebody else's house? Probably not your house. Ever been in somebody else's house and you're sitting at the window and the light comes through just right? And you see all the dust just floating around all through the air, just covered with dust. That's never happened at my house, but I've been to other people's homes and saw that dust in their house. Suppose all that dust turned into gnats. Can you imagine that? All the dust of the earth became gnats throughout the whole land of Egypt. Now the word gnats, if you look it up like in a Hebrew dictionary and look up the word gnats, it's kind of an interesting word because it literally means to nip or to pinch. Do gnats nip or pinch? Do they bite? But the Hebrew word means to nip or to pinch. That's why you may have I don't know what translation you're using, but some of the translations don't use gnat. They use mosquitoes or sand fleas, which may be a little bit more accurate than gnats, because whatever it was, these guys bit, and they're everywhere. You can imagine how miserable that was. The impact upon Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them. Just as the Lord said, he's not going to listen to you, and he's still not listening. Verse 20. Now the Lord said to Moses, rise up early and present yourself before Pharaoh. As he comes out to the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord. And the next words were? No change of message. No more further revelation. No more, well, here's what I want you to do next in your life. Because you haven't obeyed what I asked you to do in the first place. Let my people go that they may serve me. You think God's frustrated? I don't think God's frustrated. I think God's exactly aware and knows. He's already predicted this whole thing anyway. He's not frustrated. For if you do not let the people go, behold, I will send swarms of insects on you, on your servants, on your people, and into your houses. One of the things I enjoy doing is I like to take certain words and just kind of look them up in a Hebrew dictionary and just to see, well, what does that word mean? So I looked up the word swarms. It has an interesting meaning. When I think of swarms, I think of a swarm of one kind of insect. And that's the way I think of swarms. That's not what the Hebrew word means. The Hebrew word means mixture. It became a whole mixture of insects. In other words, about every kind of insect you could think of probably must have come down on Egypt. And what a mess. What a terrible thing it must have been. The impact on Pharaoh. So Pharaoh said, we'll wait just a quick second. He's thinking for a second. There he goes. I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. But Pharaoh's heart hardened his heart after Moses pleaded for him, removed the insects. His heart was hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. Talking about God's grace, which he was talking about. I don't know if I would have been quite as gracious not giving this man what he deserved. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, I give up. Have it your way, Pharaoh. The people can stay. Your Bible translation read that way? Is that what your translation says? Doesn't read quite like that, does it? Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrews. What does it say? Yeah, how about let my people go that they may come and serve me? Same message. Word for word. No change. No further communication between God and Pharaoh because you haven't done what I've asked you to do in the first place. There's that biblical principle all over again. Just kind of screams out for us as the people of God today. Are you listening to what God's asked you to do? Have you done what he's asked you to do already? Or is he still waiting for you to make a move? For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock and on your horses and on your donkeys and on your camels, on your herds and on the flocks. That is the next plague. And the next day the Lord did this very thing and all of the livestock of Egypt died. Think how devastating that would be. No more hamburgers. No more T-bone steaks. I mean, that would crush me if the Lord did that. The impact on Pharaoh, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And he didn't let the people go. So plague number 6. The Lord said to Pharaoh, take Aaron. Take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them into the air in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become fine dust all over the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. What a horrible plague that must have been. Can you imagine the pain boils breaking out all over your body. Everywhere the dust landed, boils broke out. That means in their joints. That means under their arms, those tender spots under the arm, around their waist, on their feet, on their face. I mean, sleep must have become absolutely impossible. With all those sores. Not only that, it was extreme embarrassment for an Egyptian to get a boil. Because they were noted for being extra clean. Egyptians were noted for bathing as many as 2 to 3 times a day. That's how clean they were. And now all of a sudden these nasty sores all over their bodies. The impact on Pharaoh, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He did not listen to them. Do you see something worded a little differently than what's been said before? Who hardened his heart first? He kept saying it over and over. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He said a little differently here. The Lord hardened. It's like, this is the way you want to go, and that's the way it will be. And the Lord hardened his heart. Chuck Swindoll says this: the longer you harden your heart, the more difficult it is to allow God's light to finally break through. If you rebel against the Lord, if He's asked you to do something, if He's asked you to stop doing something, and you harden your heart and don't listen to the Lord, eventually it gets very easy to stop listening to the Lord and just kind of go on with life and just lay it behind you. The longer you harden your heart, the more difficult it is to let God's light come through and continue His revelation in your life. The impact on Pharaoh, the Lord hardened his heart and he did not listen to them. That is a very dangerous thing to put your place in. To harden your heart. Stop listening to God. To know that there's something He's put His finger on and said, stop it. Or could be the other way. Something that He's put His finger on and said, start this. I want you to do this. And we harden our hearts. And that's dangerous to get to that point. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the sky, that hail may fall from the land of Egypt on man and on beast and on every plant in the field. January 28th, and what I have read now, is not, and back in 1995, on Thomasville, Georgia, they had what scientists or weather people, whoever they are, called a supercell hailstorm. The size of the hail was the size of softballs. And it destroyed that whole city of Thomasville. The only difference between that storm and this one is this one was located on the city of Thomasville. Where was this hailstorm? Yeah, fall on all the land of Egypt. You can imagine the devastation that this caused in that land. The impact on Pharaoh. I have sinned this time. How about all the other times? But anyway, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Tell me, what do you think? What do you think about those words? Huh? He didn't believe them, did he? Because he knows the hearts of people. How easy it is us to say the right words. Don't they say the words are cheap? I think I've heard that phrase before. Words are cheap. And it's also true in the life of a Christian. It's kind of easy for us to sit here on Sunday mornings and sing the songs that we sing about, oh, how much I love you, and you're the sovereign, you're the righteous one, and sing or even tell God, I love you. But words are pretty cheap. And those words, you almost can't improve upon them, except the heart wasn't right. I've sinned this time. How easy it is for us to say to God, oh, I've sinned and I love you, God. And God says, great. I've asked you to do something or stop doing something. When are you going to do that? When are you going to place that in your life? And in fact, God kind of nails it. I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. You know, He knows the heart. Chapter 10, verse 3, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before the Lord? Let the people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let the people go, then tomorrow, this is number 8, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. They will cover the surface of the land. They will eat the rest of what's escaped. I would think the hailstorm kind of wiped out everything, but God said, there's a little bit of green out there I still see. So I'm going to send the locusts. And they're going to eat all the rest of everything that's green, anything that has escaped. The impact on Pharaoh, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go. Plague number 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness that may be felt. And I've tried to think how do you feel darkness? Unless that darkness is extremely heavy. The only thing that I can relate it to is the one time when I was a little boy, my parents took me to the Luray Caverns. You ever been down to the caverns? Maybe not Luray, but some other cavern that goes way down deep in the earth, and you see all the beautiful colors and the lights and the stalagmites and the stalactites and whatever all those other things are under there that they call. You ever seen that? Now, when we were down there, what I remember is that the guide that took us down went off to the side, and he told the people, now calm down, be prepared. And he went over and hit a switch. And you could not see your hand in front of your face. It was a darkness like I had never experienced before. This evidently was a darkness that went even far beyond that. A darkness that it says it may be felt. That's a pretty serious darkness, isn't it? As a matter of fact, it says they did not see anyone, nor did they rise from their place for 3 days. I think in the Luray Caverns, he might have cut it off for 10 seconds until everybody was screaming. You know, darkness is a scary place to be. You can't see anything. This went on for 3 days, and they couldn't even see one another. A darkness that may be felt. The impact on Pharaoh, go and serve the Lord. Finally. But let's talk about it a little bit more. Let's talk about this thing. Let's see if we can make a deal. Go and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. You can go, but leave the livestock. Let's make a deal. You think God's into making deals? Moses said, our livestock shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. We're all leaving. Everything we own is going with us. Now, how does all this apply to us as that are in this room? How does this lesson? Well, to me, there's really only been one lesson. In all nine plagues, there's only one lesson that screams out. That it's a terrible price to pay when you ignore God's expressed will in your life. Now, that would include maybe anybody who may be here, and I don't know if there is any, that include anybody that's in this room that's maybe never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. It's a terrible price to pay when you ignore God's will. God says there's only one God, one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. And we live in a society today that 70% of Americans do not believe that. 70% don't believe that Bible verse. And yet God says, you're not God, I am. And I say, there's only one God, and you're not Him. And I say, there's only one mediator between God and mankind, and that one mediator is the man Christ Jesus. It's a terrible price to pay if you ignore what God says from His Word. And He says, there's only one go-between between me and you. And it's my Son, Jesus. How does it apply to the Christian? Because probably most of us in this room have trusted Christ and asked Him to be our personal Savior. How does it apply to us? Well, I think, again, there's really only one lesson in the whole thing. And that it's a terrible price to pay when you ignore God's expressed will in your life as a believer. So my question is this. What's God been speaking to you? Because my guess is there's probably one or two things that He's brought up into your heart this morning and said, you know, I've been talking to you about this for a long time. And it's time for you to listen. And it's time for you to act. What's He speaking to you about? What's He whispered into your heart this morning? It's time for some action. It's time for you to do something. It may be just not always something stop doing. Maybe something God's asked you to start doing. Or it may be something He's asking you to stop doing. I don't know what that is. I just know this. It's a terrible price to pay. If you don't think so, ask Pharaoh to ignore God's expressed will in your life.